The sermon is based on both the Old Testament reading and the reading from Acts chapter 2. Before the fall into sin, God gave our first parents a blessed word. In fact, it was the first word he had ever spoke to the man and woman that he had created. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. It's not long after this word of God when we hear about man's dive into sin, and by the time we get to Genesis 11, sinful humanity is doing a magnificent job at not fulfilling these very first words that God spoke to us. In Genesis 11, the Old Testament reading for today, we hear this. As people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. So this means no more movement, no more migrating, no more filling the earth. Instead, man plops himself down on level ground in Shinar and decides to settle. And not only is man not filling the earth, but things go from bad to worse when the people decide not only to stay in one place, but they get this wonderful idea to build a city and a tower. And not just any tower, but a tower ascending to the heavens. It's an Old Testament skyscraper, the first of its kind. A testament to their architectural ingenuity, sure, they had learned how to make bricks, so let's put it to use. But this is more. This is more than just a test of man's expertise in bricklaying. There is a sinister motive behind all of this, and we hear about it in verse 4. Here, contrary to God's word, this communion of sinners says this. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. Now remember, God had said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and here mankind says, no, we're going to stay put, and we're going to make a name for ourselves. Now maybe mankind had forgotten what God had taught him, perhaps the teaching had never reached his ears, or perhaps he had heard this teaching God had given to our first parents, and he ignored it. Whatever the case, here in Genesis 11, man has found a comfortable niche on the plain of Shinar and now proceeds to make a name for himself through an ambitious building project. Power, unity, oneness anchored in the will of the flesh. That's what we find in Genesis 11. Man find strength in himself without need of a Savior, and God will have none of it. God will not stand idly by while he watches his unrepentant creation sink further and further into the pits of sin. That is not how our God is described in Holy Scripture. Rather, God does love. He cares. He acts. He acts according to his good and gracious will because God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so it's no surprise in Genesis 11 to see God take action dispersing the people. He confuses their language. He breaks the back of their will, and they're scattered over the face of the earth with their precious city and tower left to rot and dilapidate on the empty plain of Shinar. God's plan and purpose prevails. The plans of man crumble into a broken pile of bricks. That's how it goes whenever man sets himself against God. I'm pretty sure none of you right now are in the process of constructing a tower reaching the heavens. But that doesn't excuse any one of us from God's condemnation. When we look at this text here in Genesis, all of us have to realize that we're really not all that different. No, I know, we're not laying bricks and mortar, but that carnal wish to make a name for yourself over and against God, it's rooted in the heart of every sinner. And the tragedy in all this is that God has already given you a name. His name, sealed on sinners in the waters of holy baptism. And in his name, Christian, we are recipients of countless promises and blessings. We worship a God who puts meals before us, clothes on our backs, a God who forgives our sins free of charge. We bear the name of a God who loves you so much that he suffered and died to buy you as his own. You belong to God, bearing his name, a name that really is like no other. All the joy, contentment, and peace you could ever want is yours, had in the name of your Lord and your God. However, like the builders of Babel, we'd really rather construct a name for ourselves. We'd really rather our name be known instead of the name of God. Instead of being salt and light for the world, our actions portray ones hardened by sin, sinners who love their name more than the name of God. In other words, we like ourselves too much, and let's face it, no one in here really wants to admit how bad they really are. We go through great pains to cover our tracks, to hide our sins, and put on facades before others. We like to be seen. We want to be heard. We want our name above everyone else. And so often, this comes at the expense of the neighbor. How often has someone you considered to be your friend betrayed you, threw you under the bus in order to save their own skin? Giving a false testimony against your neighbor is the exact opposite of Christian love. The false testimony is not long-suffering, merciful, patient, sacrificial love. But when it comes to making a name for ourselves, the beast within knows no limits. Sure, we've been betrayed by our friends, maybe even our families, our loved ones, and it hurts. It's a painful process. But we've also betrayed others. We too have seized opportunities to bring ourselves up, pushing our neighbor down. Gossip comes down the pipe, and instead of putting a stop to it, we relish it, we spread it, while giving the impression, of course, that we do care about our neighbor. How often have we spread that juicy piece of information, but justify our actions by saying, "But the other person needs to hear it"? In God's name, we have everything we need. Scripture says this over and over again. But within all of us is that callous, deceitful heart, fallen flesh in rebellion against God, while we want to hold our names, ourselves, into the air for all to see. Yes, we want attention. We want to be seen. We want to be heard. We want to be the almighty knower of all things, while holding ourselves up in front of others to see. And sure, we don't mind it at all when people look up to us. That's a great thing about power, because when we have power, that means someone else doesn't have it. And that means they need to look up to us. Sinners love this stuff. And I say that to our shame. The most dangerous and the most comforting pronoun in all of Scripture, it's a very small word. It's the word I. It's very comforting and strengthening to us Christians when we hear it coming out of the mouth of God, our Lord and God, who says, "I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you." But when such a word becomes so dangerous is when mankind says things like, "I'm great. I have a name. I'm powerful. I have wants and desires that should be over and above everyone else." People of God, let none of us in here be presumptuous to think that we are exempt from such behavior, because we are not. The sinner of all of us struggles to overthrow the name of God and elevate our own name, and that really does make us no different than the fools of Babel. And for the fools of Babel, it does not end well. God disperses the people. His will prevails, and his purpose is not overthrown by man. Now, the good news in all of this is that when God declares something will happen, it's as good as done. Our Lord sticks to his word. And that means, Christian, when he tells you, "I love you," he means it. When he says, "Take heart, I am with you," he means it. When God looks at you and all your guilt and all of your sins, and he says the words to you, "Peace be with you," you are forgiven. he means it. Even when the enemies of the gospel rant and rave, whether they are in the culture, society, politics, even in the church, God makes you a promise that he will preserve his church unto life everlasting. And speaking of church, speaking of the communion of saints, we know the dispersion at Shinar, it's not the end of the story. God will, and he does, bring about true unity amongst the people, and he will give them a common thing to say. He will put into their mouths a new song, a new confession, a new testimony of faith in Christ that transcends language and nationality. Pentecost is that day where we see God fulfilling his promise to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And Christian, it is because of the Spirit that we acknowledge Christ and prophesy and confess his holy name. Unity destroyed at Babel is restored at Pentecost, not in a linguistic way. We still have a multitude of languages. But unity comes about by God, bringing people all over the world into the fold of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. God will take his gospel to the ends of the earth, and the Spirit, through that gospel, will make dead hearts alive to God in Jesus Christ. That is the work of the Spirit poured out on the flesh, just like God said he would. The same confession, the same testimony is spoken by believers all over the world. What does all this mean? Dear brothers and sisters, baptized into the name of our Lord and God Jesus Christ, it means you don't have to make a name for yourselves. You bear the name of the Lord Jesus. It means you can let go of your pride. You can dismantle your ego. You can look at God's law and confess your sins and receive what he promises to give you. Absolution. Peace, forgiveness. Always remember, you have a name. God has given you his name. A name sealed upon you in the waters of holy baptism. A name you bear by faith in the Son of God. Peter says it very clearly in his sermon on Pentecost when he takes from the prophet Joel and says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Shall be saved. That promise is for us. That promise is yours for the sake of Jesus Christ, his name into which you have been baptized, Christian. And that means you are washed, forgiven, sanctified, yes, even unto death. So when the world stomps on you and persecutes you because you bear the name of God, it's okay. You belong to Christ. You are his. When your sins pile up upon you, and the chaos of your life, creating more confusion than certainty, hear the true and certain word of God that cuts through all of it. Your Lord and your God saying unto you, "You belong to me. You are mine. I have redeemed you. I have put my name upon you. Relax. Be still. You belong to God. You have nothing to worry about. You have the name you need. The name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the name that is your salvation." Amen.